Pentecost was a Jewish harvest festival that marked the 50th day after Passover. Luke portrays the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the disciples before the gathered and astonished people assembled in Jerusalem for the festival. Filled with the Spirit, the disciples were able to witness to the power of Christ's resurrection. The first reading is from Acts chapter 2, beginning with the first verse, a reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya beyond to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet of Joel. 'In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from whose Spirit speaks to us every day, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What does this mean? What does this mean? It's a very important question, and there's many variations of how this question takes shape, but it's a question that we use to seek a deeper understanding. It's an important question, a question we use in our daily lives, and a question that is in the center of our Acts reading this morning. It's a question that falls between amazement and sneers. It was a very important for Luther as well. If you remember from your small catechism, as he explains the different elements, the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the sacraments, each time asking that question, what does this mean? It's a question I ask throughout the week all the time. I ask it to Noah probably at least once an hour. What do you mean? It's a question we wrestle with in our different Bible studies. Wednesday morning really causes us to dig deeper into the Word. Same with Bible and Brew. It's a question we ask when we've met somebody new and we seek to get to know them better. And many other places. And as I said, it's the central question in our Acts passage for today. The day of Pentecost, a very big day in the church, the church's birthday. And God doesn't hold anything back for this day. It is filled with mighty sweeping winds, tongues of fire on everyone's head, and speaking of different languages that they didn't know. It is a huge spectacle, and it's no wonder the people didn't know what to make of it. This is the birth of the church. Because Peter, as we saw at the very end, he goes on to start preaching, and he continues and then leads confession with the people gathered, inviting them to baptism, baptizing 300 folks, and then sharing in the Lord's Supper with them. The birth of the church. The Spirit of God showed up that day and did amazing things. But I've got to ask you, brothers and sisters, isn't this what we confess? Isn't this what we expect of the Spirit every day? Is not Pentecost every day? I want to take a look at Luther's small catechism with you. So pull out your hymnals, turn to the very back to page 1162. 1162. And this is the creedal section of the small catechism. We're going to be looking at the third article on being made holy, the part where we confess, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and so on. And Luther asks this question, what does this mean? And Luther says, I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but instead the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with its gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith, just as it calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Christ Jesus in the one common true faith. Daily, in this Christian church, the Holy Spirit abundantly forgives all sins, mine and those of all believers. And on the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise me and all the dead and will give me and all believers in the Christian in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. Daily, the Holy Spirit interacts. It meets us where we are. And we need to expect this. And need is one of those words I really don't like to say from the pulpit, but we need to have this expectation to come and see, to witness, to be in the presence and be amazed by the Spirit all the time. Because it is out there working all the time. Especially in the subtleties. Especially in the subtleties. Now, this big showy stuff is nice. Don't get me wrong. I think the spectacle of that Pentecost day was amazing. But I want to look at some of the subtleties in our texts that often get shadowed by the big flames and the gushing winds and all that. Because this is how Acts lays it out, some different elements amongst the dazzle and the overwhelmingness. First, the people are all gathered. They're all gathered together to to hear. They're drawn in by the Spirit. The Spirit draws us in to hear this good news about Jesus Christ and all that Christ has done for us. It draws us in to be one, as our Corinthian text talks about, to be one body, to be this group of believers. Second, there is a tongue for each. There is a tongue of fire for every single person. Everyone receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everyone benefits from the workings. As Luther said, it sustains us every single day. And it is unique in each of us, but still is drawn to this common purpose. It reveals God and it sends us. In Acts 2:37, just a few verses after our passage today, the author writes, "Come, be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It's a promise that Christ makes to those in the upper room in our gospel lesson. Then in Corinthians 12:13, Paul says, "In one Spirit, all are baptized into the one body." This unity piece, the communal piece, the Spirit joins us. This is God being revealed to us. And then in 1 Corinthians 12:7, the sending part, each is given the Holy Spirit for the common good. Baptism isn't this climax or the end of a Christian's journey, a Christian's life. Baptism, the gift of the Holy Spirit that we receive, is just the beginning. It's that birthday. It's the new beginning where the Spirit leads us out. It leads us out to share the good news with those who have yet to hear it. Thirdly, we see the Spirit stirring things up. The Spirit is going to bewilder us. It's going to confuse us. It's going to make us uncomfortable. And our responses range anywhere in the spectrum of amazement and perplexity to that discomfort. And our responses, what are they? Just like the people gathered there, they're going to be both hearing with joy and amazement and accusing of drunkenness. Or however we look at that today, and our different ways that we kind of dismiss what's going on. The Spirit causes a little bit of havoc. And lastly, that Spirit is for all. All receive the Spirit. All hear of its promise, and all are sent to share. That's what it means to prophesy. Prophecy means to share the good news. This is for all, men and women, young and old, anybody of all different social classes, even slaves, as the author writes. So what does this all mean? Brothers and sisters, to me, this means that the Holy Spirit is always busy at work in any way imaginable, any way. And it is often through the humble and anonymous things, these subtleties. Because every day is Pentecost. And there probably won't be the huge winds, the tongues of fire resting upon our heads, or even the ability to all of a sudden be able to speak a different language we've never learned. But the Spirit is working all the same. So what is the Holy Spirit up to? What does this mean? These are the questions that we listen to. Let us too be filled with amazement and perplexity, asking one another, what does this mean? That we all might be drawn together in by the one Spirit for the one common good. And this, brothers and sisters, is worth digging and searching to seek and find that oneness of the Spirit's activity. It's there. Because this is God's desire for each and every one of us. Communal love is the key. This is the agenda of the Spirit. Love is the core value that holds and binds communities together despite their differences. It holds us together, it unites us so that we might be one in the body of Christ. Amen.